This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Coming up, we're going to have reaction to Governor DeWine's Wednesday address to the state. We'll be joined by a local doctor to talk about that. But we start today's show with a look at reaction to the Cincinnati Board of Education's decisions related to reopening schools. It's safe to say not everyone is enthusiastic.
On behalf of teachers and staff, we're really scared for our lives.
That's Andrea. She's a teacher within the Cincinnati Public School District. And board members heard from parents and teachers like Andrea this week. So let's talk about those reactions and more on the plans to reopen. We're joined by one of those board members, Ryan Messer. He is vice president of the board, also a parent of school children in Cincinnati. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks, Michael.
I want to start our conversation by playing a little bit more of the sound collected this week when that teacher, Andrea, was addressing the board.
According to our local experts, we are at level 3 out of 4 and trending upwards to purple. Levels 2 through 4 all say to decrease interactions. At which level are you comfortable sending us into our buildings? As a teacher, I have to say that I'm still really concerned about the safety for my students, my coworkers, my family, and myself. I am terrified that we're going to have staff and or students die, and I'm just not sure we're all prepared for that. I'd also like to say that another teacher had asked me to share that she is worried for her own child that has underlying health conditions. She is choosing to have virtual learning for her child, but is still expected to work in a school building 5 days a week. So I just wanted to point out that children are spreading this, and it is a pandemic, and on behalf of teachers and staff, we're really scared for our lives.
And again, that was a teacher named Andrea within the Cincinnati Public School District. And we're talking with Ryan Messer, vice president of the Board of Education in Cincinnati. Ryan, when you hear a teacher like Andrea talk about we're scared for our lives, what's your reaction?
Well, I absolutely can understand the concern. I mean, we hear it. My family's got some of those same concerns, neighbors and friends. Some are teachers. People related to our buildings. But I will also say, you know, the important thing here is we are also an employer in addition to being a school that educates children. And I work for Johnson & Johnson. These same conversations are happening in our workplace too. And there are some jobs to keep business running forward. You know, they're asking people to go back and they've got pre-existing conditions. They've got family members. And so there are laws that govern kind of the personnel side of what can be done and not be done. And I think, you know, those are some of the things as I one-on-one talked with our superintendent about. We've got to make sure that we are engaging with our staff, given the complexity of the situation that we're in, and how to deal with these scenarios where they have children they need to care for, or a elderly parent, or maybe they themselves are at risk. But I think what that teacher speaks to is the overall concern that I hear growing more and more. You know, we did parent surveys kind of a while back, and I was in a very different mindset 4 weeks ago than I am today. And I think the latest information we got specifically from the governor yesterday says what I believe the school district is doing is the right thing, which is prepare to open, but also be prepared to close. And that piece, I want to make sure that everybody understands that is the part of the process that we have not 100% said we're going to go ahead and open. We've created a plan so that we can pivot to open or pivot to close. And then hopefully someday that plan allows to go open full time someday.
I'm glad you emphasized that, Ryan, because I wanted to bring that up, that this is still a very fluid situation. We've not heard any concrete plans from the state level government about, you know, what changes could be coming in the way that we're interacting in the public since other entities within the economy started to reopen. I want to ask, though, more generically about the process of being a board member right now, because it's not unusual for a school board to get pushback from parents, teachers, or even students as it might relate to funding or eliminating a certain program or considering a different type of curriculum. But it's been quite a long time since this nation faced a health crisis like this, a pandemic like this. What has this been like for members of the Cincinnati Board of Education to try to navigate these waters responsibly?
Yeah, you know, I think the toughest part here is that we're in the business of creating futures for children. Our product, you know, we're like any other company. Our product are creating the future of this company. It's human capital, and people don't necessarily think about it that way. We are creating the next generation of leaders who will move our region forward. And there's already this concern about making sure that we have a level playing field for our children in Cincinnati Public Schools, no matter what their situation and circumstances. And so as you put our number one top priority has to be the health and safety of our students and our staff, it's just right behind that. And we want to make sure that our children don't fall behind, that they have every opportunity. And it is grueling to think through. And I think our president in our meeting just really captured it so perfectly, where she said she's not sleeping at night. She's physically ill thinking about it. I was physically ill after that, the meeting that, you know, when we were having that conversation, just knowing that there is not a right answer here. And so, you know, what I feel like we're doing is we're doing a risk management plan, and we have to assess the risk and the benefit every step of the way and be prepared that what our plan is today may not be the plan tomorrow. And that's the agility that I think you saw come in, not last night's meeting, but the one right before, because, you know, we're not trending in the good direction here. And so we have to pivot, and then we also have to do that, as I asked last night during our meeting, with enough time for our teachers to prepare and also for our families to prepare.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined by Cincinnati Board of Education Vice President Ryan Messer, and we're talking about the plans and the safety measures being implemented to reopen Cincinnati Public Schools for the new school year. If you want to join our conversation, you can do that on the phone at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We'll also look for your comments on Facebook and your tweets at 917-WVXU. And Ryan, we had you on at the end of June to talk about the plan that the board was going to adopt as it relates to the number of days that kids would be in school each week. And that was ultimately adopted, that plan. What we learned on Monday were some of the other protocols that are being adopted in order to keep a healthy environment inside. Before we dive into those new things that were adopted on Monday, let's talk a little bit about this very unique schedule that Cincinnati Public Schools is implementing. So it looks like you're basically dividing half of the student population in each school into pairs and alternating weeks in which those different groups will be in class for 3 days and possibly learning remote. It sounds like 2 days and vice versa.
That's correct.
And so how are teachers, from your perspective, we heard from one teacher talking about concerns about being in school during a health pandemic, but from the educational side, what are you hearing from teachers about this approach?
Well, I have gotten to know several teachers, including some of my own children's teachers, and I actually now have neighbors who are teachers, so I feel like I'm surrounded. And what I hear is, it's so important. These instructional days, Ryan, are so important. And I was hearing, hey, you know, we've got to really think about getting kids back. And it mirrored what I was hearing from parents. You know, yesterday I talked to a teacher who said, you know, I feel differently than when we talked last month. Because, you know, I reached out, I think all of us do, to just understand the different stakeholders. And obviously the staff are critical to me. And I've talked to one of my children's paraprofessionals. I talked to one of my children's teachers from last year. I've seen them evolve just like I've evolved of like the most recent data. You know, I would have absolutely put a mask mandate in last night for the state. And I think failure to do so has extended the issue for us. So, you know, I think the pulse that I'm getting is, of course, we want to be back with our students. And of course, we want to prioritize their education and not only continue, we've got to do a little catch up. But at the same time, we have to do it when we're in an environment where it's going to allow people to live and to be safe.
Students got a taste of non-traditional instruction, NTI, at the end of the previous school year as the pandemic took hold of us and we shut just about everything down. And so they might be somewhat more prepared this time to pivot to this, adjust to this, get used to it. But there are some programs within every school district that are tailored for a certain type of student population that may have more challenges in learning this way. I want to play some sound from one such specialist who works within the district. This is Lexi Lopez Mayo.
We did a survey just for our department. We had two-thirds of our therapists answer, and I have to tell you that over 75% of them are concerned for their health and safety, and they're also concerned that we cannot provide speech remote services to kids in a manner that is conducive for their progress. As far as the spring, it was painted with very pretty rose-colored glasses, and I have to tell you that it was a mess. I'm sorry to tell you, it was a disaster. And so the reason why I turned on my camera today is because I want you to look and see my face. I have no choice. I have to work. I can't take paid time. I wanted you to see me because I wanted you to see that I'm a person. I have no choice. I have to work. So that means that I'm either putting my life at risk or my children's life at risk because you're sending me back into the schools 5 days a week. Thank you.
And again, that was Lexi Lopez Mayo speaking to the Cincinnati Board of Education. She works in speech therapy for the district. And we're talking with Ryan Messer, Vice President of the Board of Education for Cincinnati Public Schools. Ryan, I mean, that's got to be a challenge to address comprehensively because there's the general student population, but there are these specialized programs that may help students who have either fallen behind or have different other types of challenges in order to stay on pace. Can you talk a little bit about approaching that?
Yeah, I mean, what I hear in that teacher's voice is probably representative, at least to some degree, for most of our staff. Where you definitely don't sign up to be a teacher for the pay, and we, you know, I'll go on record to say, as a homeschool parent for the last school year, I went on record to say we don't even pay them nearly enough, and so people go into it for the passion of helping children and creating the future of our country, the foundation of democracy, all those things that drive people to be teachers. At the same time, they're conflicted because they also have to be vigilant about the safety of themselves and their children. And so that is a very real situation for all of our staff. And really, frankly, employers are facing this no matter what the area of business they're in. But I think these are the times, these are unprecedented times in our lifetime. And, you know, this is where innovation has to happen. You know, a neighbor of ours is a child psychiatrist, and maybe she's even listening, but how she has changed some of her therapy with children to the virtual and found new, these are the things that we're going to depend on some of our teachers who are innovative and creative and how we approach this because, you know, yes, we were thrust into this position last year and we were scrambling. And of course, there was criticism. You know, there are kids who didn't have internet. There were kids who didn't have computers. And those are all correct. Some things we can control, some things we can't control. What I know is that all children third grade and above are going to have a device this year. So if we are in a virtual world, that's going to change the game for more families. I know there are lots of partnerships taking place in the community to close the gap of those families who didn't have access to internet before. So we're leveraging community partnerships with that. But I think that, you know, for these new ones, it's difficult for everyone. It was difficult for us. You know, I work full time. My husband doesn't work, but we have small children in addition to the kids at school. So you can't take care of them and sit on, classroom meetups and then do homework while you've got a baby that needs a diaper change and everything else. It's tough for everybody. But specifically, I think we're all concerned about those children who have additional needs that we have to be creative in how we manage those. And we're going to depend on the innovation of our staff to help guide us.
And again, we're talking with Cincinnati Board of Education Vice President Ryan Messer. And Ryan, let's talk a little bit about some of these issues that were discussed on Monday as it relates to processes inside the school buildings, if and when schools do in fact reopen. So face coverings are going to be mandatory. We know Governor Mike DeWine spoke Wednesday evening and did not issue a statewide mask mandate, as some people had speculated that he would. So we still have sort of a piecemeal approach in the state of Ohio as it relates to these things. But the school district will enforce these and will make masks available to those who may not have their own. As it relates to masks, though, and kids, what type of procedures are going to be in place to ensure compliance? We know kids in some grades won't keep their shoes on or won't keep their pants on. I mean, what's the procedures for masks?
Are you talking about my son?
I don't know. I worked in Head Start in Cincinnati Public Schools for a couple of years, so we've seen some things.
Yeah, I've got one that was a streaker before preschool. We were scared to death that he'd keep them on. Obviously, this is we can't get adults to wear masks. And I point to the fact that I had my 3.5-year-old daughter, Miss Lillian, who sat perfectly for 3.5 hours for a meeting with a mask on. And it's kind of expect and inspect and make sure that people understand, that our children understand why. We talk to them. They understand the coronavirus, and they understand people are dying and that this is the right thing to do. Our superintendent always talks about our kids being world influencers. They don't just graduate and go do something. We want you to change the world around us. And you know, I think this is a kind of a way to help them understand. And maybe, you know, when we are able to go back, whenever that is, maybe they help their families understand the importance and potentially save lives by communicating that. But we also, and so if we go back and, you know, this blended model, we'll have half the number of kids because we have not wavered from the 6 feet expectation. So a fewer number per day per class help with managing. You know, I don't know how they could do that with a full class, but they can with half the number, maybe a little easier. We will have masks for those who forget them. You know, there will be some in stock, but we are going to ask families to send them. It's part of getting them to and from school safely. But there will also be monitors on the buses, make sure the distancing, make sure they have their mask, et cetera. So we're being as comprehensive as we possibly can and also have leveraged some of the best experts in the world. And those are experts at Children's Hospital who have engaged with our superintendent literally at every turn and, in fact, have offered up to help serve as a clinical advisory board. So as we get data in, you know, most of us on the board are not physicians and we're not data statisticians, et cetera. And it would be helpful to have experts helping us understand data as it comes in and make data-driven decisions and strategic decisions based on that.
We also note that disinfectant will be made available in classrooms at all times in Cincinnati Public Schools if and when they reopen. And this one I find interesting, that students and staff will be encouraged to use water bottles, but the drinking fountains will still be available. They will be cleaned regularly. How big of a concern are drinking fountains? I remember being in school and you kind of learned which drinking fountains to avoid because they would only do that like dribble thing and you had to get way too close to the spigot. So what are the plans as it relates to water fountains?
Well, and I think you're getting to one of the very, very common spaces where children would go to get a drink of water. You know, I think the purpose of having, you know, there'll be a nurse basically looking at health compliance in every building and safety compliance in every building. And I think if they look and say that's not going to be a safe, based on the stream is not too high or whatever, maybe they will then mandate that whole building has to go on an alternative water source, bottled water or other water machines that they could do in single serving cups or whatever. But I think what you speak to is, you know, we're doing uncharted territory. You know, when we had the pandemic, it wasn't very long into the start of the pandemic before we frankly went on a full lockdown or closed down. And frankly, that came from a press conference of the governor. I heard it when everybody else did, that schools would be closed on Monday. So we didn't have a whole lot of time to react. But I think we have, you know, once we have a safe time to open, you know, I think there are learnings from summer camps and a variety of other settings where they have taken children back into public settings that we'll be able to learn from.
We're talking with Ryan Messer, Vice President of the Board of Education for Cincinnati. it looks like there are suggestions to keep kids 6 feet apart within the classrooms, but there will also be staggered use of playgrounds and gyms. So in the classroom, there will be social distancing, at least attempted to be enforced. And again, half the student population will be at home, half will be inside the building. So that might be more easily achieved. But when you factor in playgrounds and gym type activities, what are the plans around social distancing in those recreational activities?
Well, you know, I think the foundation of the whole thing is beginning the year or whenever it is that we can go back, by helping the students understand the pandemic based on their age or their grade, understanding why we're doing what we're doing. This is all going to be part of the learning process and kind of onboarding them to all of these processes. And, you know, which reinforces why we wear masks and why we're sitting 6 feet apart. And, you know, because we have these smaller groups, you know, just as we monitor playgrounds today, you know, I go to our school and they have a play time before pickup for preschool, for example. They're there monitoring. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I know my kids. But I think my kids also understand the importance of the time that we're in. And, you know, my little guy says it best, "Papa, how much longer is this coronavirus going to be here?" And I think that's where we all are. And so, you know, we're going to learn as we do. The question is, when are we going to get to that point? And, you know, I think there are still some unanswered questions about that.
I want to talk about food service because a lot of school districts, including Cincinnati, pivoted to making sure that even though kids were learning from home, that they were still able to have access to the meals they would have received while in school. But now we're going to have this hybrid approach, and I'm wondering how the district is preparing for any potential added stress to that system, because you've got the cafeteria workers, the food staff preparing lunch and inside the buildings, but also making sure that there are meals for takeout, which I'm sure would involve a challenging process as well. Can you tell us about that?
Well, if you want to talk about one group I have absolute faith in this whole world, it's our food service workers at CPS. You know, I saw them mobilize. I was astonished at how quickly they mobilized from closure to having our distribution sites set up throughout the city. You know, there were restrictions on exactly how that could be done. You know, some people said, well, you should use your buses to drop it off their homes. There's lots of requirements and restrictions about how we could use different funds for what. But what we knew for sure is we could feed these children. And they put the schedule together, the drop-off location. And so, you know, that is a commitment, making sure that our children have the nutrition necessary to lead healthy lives is an important, critical part of the offerings of Cincinnati Public Schools. And so the food service team has absolutely coordinated how they will manage through that. And they'll be, you know, just like you could take a, you know, when we had the drop-off site, you could go for that day and pick up for that day and the next day. Same thing when they're in our school, then they would take home what they would need for the next day. And so it would actually make it a little easier versus having to go to one of the seven distribution sites. But that will remain a priority for Cincinnati Public Schools. And I have to say kudos to many, many partners who help volunteer and offer to help out and kind of went above and beyond even during, you know, these times to help them with dinner and weekend meals. It's just been really incredible.
And we'll note that lunch will be served in the classroom as an effort to maintain that social distancing. There won't be any parent or community volunteers or field trips or large school assemblies. That's all understandable as to the reasoning behind that. Childcare is going to be provided to staff. We did hear from one of the people affiliated with the district and suggest that, you know, they can't take the time off work and then they have child. But this is something that you're offering to staff at the district.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, I talked about proud of my district when I heard that in the report. I think it's a very responsible thing to do for employee engagement because, you know, you don't want to go to work and then having the background fear of, you know, are your kids being taken care of and all these things. And so having structured, facilitated, and I think what they laid out was a really a really good plan for that child care. At the same time, while we're not in the business of child care as a whole for our CPS families, I also love that we were kind of proactively working with community partners to at least find some solutions to offer our families in that blended model for the children when they're not at school. And frankly, so many other community organizations have already mobilized to help in that space as well.
And lastly, we'll note quickly that there will be a school nurse inside each of the buildings. Ryan Messer is the vice president of the Cincinnati Board of Education, also a parent within the school district. Ryan, thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We very much appreciate it. We'll check in again soon, I hope.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great day.
You too. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.